Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. I hope you guys are having a great time. To anyone new here, a warm welcome. Thank you so much for checking out the channel. All I ask is after watching and or listening to the video, if you find you enjoyed it or you learned something, do me a favor, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, without further ado, let's jump into the weeds. Have you guys heard any of the wiretapped conversations between Charlie Adelson and his mother Donna? These are different from the jailhouse calls. There's one where Charlie and Donna chit-chat about Charlie's sister Wendy, Donna's daughter Wendy. And by chit-chat, what I really mean is they're gossiping about Wendy. They're talking smack. Wendy, in case you don't know, is the ex-wife of the slain law professor and father of two, Dan Markell. This conversation is very revealing. It's unclear exactly when the call was recorded, but it was definitely after Dan Markell's murder and before Charlie lost his dental clients and was no longer a popular hire as a traveling periodontist. During the call, we can hear Donna sort of massaging Charlie's humongous ego. Donna's encouraging, practically, I guess, ordering Charlie to talk to Wendy about a guy named Dave who's been dating Wendy. Nosy newser that she is, manipulator extraordinaire, Donna fears Wendy's about to break up with Dave, and it sounds like Wendy was celebrating her birthday over the weekend at her home, and she didn't invite this Dave. And Donna's fear is that by not inviting Dave, Wendy will piss off Dave, he'll grow tired of her crappy behavior, and he'll dump her. Oy vey, is Donna a meddling mother? Just so you know, Dave is a cybersecurity expert, and his nanny is Bree. And Bree is Charlie Adelson's baby mama. She's the mother of his child, Roman. Hope that makes sense. So it sounds like Donna and Charlie believed that Dave was a perfect match for Wendy. Not only is he a successful guy, he's also very fond of Wendy's two sons. I think he's the kind of guy that all mothers would like to have for their daughters. He's the type that will come running at the last minute right away if you have a problem. Apparently, he did come running one time for Wendy when she threw out her back or something and she was on the floor and she couldn't move. He dropped everything. He flew over there. He rescued her. Sort of like Jeff Lacoste when Wendy had an upset stomach and he said he went out at night and got her some Pepto-Bismol. Did I say that right? Pepto-Bismol? You know, that stuff that tastes terrible. But it seems like the main thing that Donna and Charlie like about Dave is that he's very, very good with Wendy's two boys, Ben and Lincoln, who obviously no longer have a father, because their dear uncle Charlie killed him, or arranged to have him done in. So ironic to me that the two people accused of plotting Dan Markell's murder have the audacity to talk about Dan's sons needing a new father. Talk about gall. In the call, Donna sounds like the perfect caring mother, like a Jewish June Cleaver, but she also comes across as gently manipulative. She's clearly trying to influence Wendy through Charlie. Donna's goal is to ensure Wendy continues dating Dave. Donna's basically setting up Charlie to be the heavy, the one who delivers the message Wendy might not want to hear. They're both theorizing that Wendy will be more open to this idea if she thinks it's coming from Charlie and not from Donna. So Charlie agrees that Dave is perfect for Wendy, and he feels that Dave is Wendy's last shot, no pun intended, at finding a really good guy. In Charlie's mind, mind, a single woman with two young sons is not an enticing package for most men who are in demand. Donna and Charlie agree that Wendy, by dating this admirable, perfect husband material guy, has won the lottery twice. Ironically, I think they mean that the first time Wendy won the lottery had to do with Dan Markell. I think the winning the lottery part has more to do with all the wealth Wendy fell into upon Dan's death, the $2 million life insurance policy, the house on Truscott Drive that she was able to sell and receive all the proceeds from, the Social Security money the government gives her to raise her sons, something to the tune of $4,800 a month, whatever cash Dan had in the bank when he died, all that plus her lucrative lawyer salary. Personally, I think Wendy should have paid back Charlie and her parents for the hit on Dan because she's the one who profited the most from it. Allegedly. Of course, Wendy claims that she had no knowledge of her brother and possibly her mother being behind Dan's gruesome death. She's innocent in all of this, in the sense that she's not been charged. Charlie seems to enjoy the role of being the big brother, and he also seems to believe that he knows better than Wendy, that he is more likely to have his sage advice lapped up by Wendy, and Donna supports Charlie in this. In addition to her good financial fortune, Wendy, per Charlie, also benefits from her parents' willingness to babysit her boys at a moment's notice for free. Charlie describes Wendy as almost being like a trust fund baby who is set financially but who didn't have to earn it. I don't think I'd mind being a trust fund baby. Just saying. But aren't Charlie and Donna, by saying this, essentially doing what Wendy accused Dan Markell of doing, which is not seeing her as an equal? Wendy did go to law school, after all, and she is, by all accounts, very intelligent. It's as if they're ignoring the work she put in as a student to become a lawyer. I'm no fan of Wendy Adelson, but her family doesn't seem to give her credit for her smarts and her ability to obtain a law degree and to work as a lawyer. Let me play you some of this conversation and see what you think about it.
Well, something for yourself, that's all.
Yeah, no, I'll come down and see her that night, Sunday night or something.
Yeah.
So, it just means, like, if I want to take the boat out, I can't. But it's something like that.
Oh.
So, let me see what's going on. I mean, I talked to her, but...
Yeah. Lightning out here. I don't know what it's like where you are, but
it's not raining, but it looks like there's rain up ahead.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't had the rain yet, but lots of lightning.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta understand too. I mean, I'll try to come down and see him, but it's like it was depends. I mean, Sunday she has a party till two. His birthday party till two.
She has a birthday party, yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be after two, and then you never know what other people are around or people who are visiting or.
No, I don't think she has anyone. She has no one visiting. I mean, you could probably try to.
I'll talk to her.
Okay.
Yeah, it can't be contrived.
No, I know.
So I can't, that one day was like perfect when I came down. And I was like, oh, my mom got, like, I was happened to be working in Miami, and then you happen to have tickets, and then I got to go, like, talk to her a little bit. I mean, I'll talk to her.
I know. It's going to be one of those times. It's like it's close again, so probably, I don't know if she's going to break up with him or not. I don't know. What's that? I don't know if she's going to break up with him or not, but in my mind, you don't see somebody and then not see him on your birthday. That just doesn't make sense. Bob, let me tell you something. I'll talk to her. I know you. I went to, I took her to lunch the other day to Taracos. Yeah, you said that day she said I'd miss him.
Well, she said with her life, I know. So it was all positive. I mean, you know, she said her life without him, she would be sad. And I was even talking to Bree about it. I mean, listen, as soon as, like, Dave dates somebody else, like, if Wendy pushes him off and Dave dates someone else, like, Wendy and the boys ain't coming over and hanging out with Dave's new girlfriend. Like, they're not, that ain't going to happen.
Bree didn't say that, did she?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Bree's very good friends with Dave. I mean, what do you think Dave's going to have the girl he used to be in love with and really wanted to date around the new girlfriend.
No. She needs one more session with you.
Let me just tell you something, and it's like a double-edged sword. Her life is very, very, very good. And the reason her life is so good is because she's getting so much help from everybody around her.
I know.
Which makes the importance of having a husband there or whatever not as, like, crucial. And what I'm saying it is like, she has lots of friends and she has lots of family around her and she has no financial needs that are not going to be met by herself. So now she's a strong, independent woman. So my point is it's a double-edged sword. It's like when you give your kid a trust fund, then you wonder how come they don't want to go to medical school and deal with all the bullshit, the lawyers and the aggravation and nonsense of medicine in 2016. I mean, it's nice you gave them a trust fund, but they stop. Some of the drive, a lot of the drive is gone. I mean, I'm just saying, that's not an exact parallel, but it just goes to show you there's like an equal and opposite effect. I mean,
that's what she needs. And how good he is for them now.
Right. She can't pick her husband based on her kids, but this is what I'm telling you. I will talk to her.
I know.
Donna later tells Charlie, I know you're good, and what she means is you're good at convincing Wendy to do the right thing, which is what we want her to do. Charlie later says she needs to listen to me because I'm in that demographic of guys she wants to date. End quote. Really, Charlie? Not anymore. What's weird to me is that Charlie was dating Katie McBanawa, who had two kids, but then I think that points to Charlie viewing Katie as a good time gal for the moment and not serious wife material. Or perhaps more apropos, not baby mama material.
People you're dealing with. So you can't, trust me, I know what to say.
I know you too.
I mean, and I listen, and a part of me is pissed because, you know what? Someone gets handed a golden opportunity.
And that, you know what? That's what she has to hear. Sometimes you get the gold ring in YouTube. I don't know what she's got her head stuck up in her ass.
She has everyone telling her that she's such a great catch, and she is. But they're not. But guess what?
They're not living her life.
They're not living her life, and they're not breaking it down and saying who's, and listen, the guy who may treat her really well just may never really bond with the kid. Like, there's so many aspects to it. So. Mm-hmm. You can be a great guy.
He
doesn't really want to do anything with your kids. What are you
going to
do? Kick him out too?
This guy not only is crazy about her, but he's crazy about those boys. And the
stuff that
he's transferring, that's what.
That's why. Because the truth is, she can meet a great guy. Those aren't his boys, and he just doesn't like them. What is she going to do? Get rid of him? He may treat her well. But he's like okay with the kids.
He'll tolerate the kids. He'll put up with them.
I put up with them, whatever. And then what if they're real nice to the boys on day one, but, 3 years down the road, he just pretty much had enough of them. But it is. They're going through a tough time. I'm just saying.
I think she needs to know that she's been given an opportunity that she most likely will never happen again. She's not only throwing it away for herself, she's throwing it away for these kids that deserve the dad.
But you don't understand. You could never say that to her. It was just like,
I know.
You can say anything you want. It's America. I can just tell you the end of the cover.
If you were here, that's what I would do.
You stood up good and go, I tried. you would get 30 seconds into your planned speech before she told you to butt out of her life. And rightfully so, it's her life. She can tell you whatever she wants. But the difference is that I can talk to her differently than you can.
I know, Charlie. So, believe me, and I'm grateful that you do. I really, you know that.
Trust me, I know. I mean, listen, she's doing great, but that, considering everything she's been through, I would just like...
You know what? She's your sister. She loves you. She's a good sister, and you're an amazing brother. And I'm just grateful that two of you have each other. I really am.
Well, I am too. But I can tell
you
that...
I really am. And I appreciate what you do, because...
I go...
Who else is going to do it? Who else is going to say, hey, wake up? You know, this is not only the perfect guy for you, but the dad for you, too. My God.
Most people don't ever get an opportunity like this to begin with.
I'm shocked that you don't.
Because the truth, and that's what I can, listen, Mom. When?
I feel like an acronym in the head, I mean it, going like, wake up.
Trust me, Mom, is my, let me say this much to you. As much as you feel like knocking her over the head, I feel like punching her and then knocking her over the head.
Yeah.
So trust me on this. So what I'm telling you is that I'll talk to her and I will do my best, my best is very good.
I know.
And you gotta understand what the way I'll tell her too is, like, Wendy, she loves Jess. I think Jess is awesome. Jess will be a great friend to me. And I talk to Jess all the time. Wendy, I wouldn't date Jess in a million years because she's 37. And she has no kids.
She's no kids, and Jess totally wants children.
Absolutely. I said, but she has no... I go, what to you about? So it's like you winning the lotto and saying, I'll never win the lotto again. That's not true. You still have a 1 in 14 million chance. That's like, I'm not going to take that from you. You can get out there and buy another ticket and win the lotto again. It's highly unlikely. So, as it's highly unlikely, you know, your problem, Wendy, is that you're highly educated, and very smart, and you can't take the easy. I go, if you want to lower your standards, you will have no problem. But you can't take the easy. You got to date successful. You don't want to date too old. You don't want to date a guy who's divorced with a crazy ex-wife who's going to make your life living hell. You know, but on top of it, which you can't even believe, he has a wife who doesn't want to be a mother to his kids, so she's not sticking her nose in his business.
And she's not sticking her hand out either, but I need money.
No, she already got paid $3 million.
I know.
So she's already been paid off.
She's out of the way.
Yeah, and she's not like in your nose, in your face, like... So you top it all off with that, which is, that's like a 1 in a million, because usually the ex-wife is bitter and angry that the husband's moving on. She's moved on, she's got her life, she's a little mom, not really. I go, you know, Wendy, it's like, you know, I'll paint the whole picture for her, and then ask her, who does she expect to meet? Because the problem is, Wendy, if a guy is real successful, and he's been through a divorce, I'd say 98, out of those 100 guys, if they're young, successful, and they've already been through the divorce, and they just lost 70% of their money or 60%, they are so gun-shy, the last thing on the planet they need to do is go through it again. They want to date. They want to enjoy life. They want to make money. They already have their kids. I'm not looking to make a whole...
She owes it to those kids.
Yeah.
But she has an opportunity that she would throw in the garbage, and then these kids... And believe me, that's it. They're not going to have another dad.
No. Well, and they had a dad. It's a tragedy. What happened?
Yeah.
Well, what I'm telling you is an opportunity for them to grow up with a dad who would be great.
You know, Ben said to me today, I mean, this kid is not even seven, but he said to me, you know what I want to do, Grandma? I want to make apps. If you want to make apps, I said, you know, I want to make up my own app. Like, I have to look at his ideas for an app. I said, well, how do you think you do that? He said, well, I'm going to ask Dave because he's great on computers. He knows a lot of computer stuff, so
I think he can help me make an app.
It's so interesting that Charlie says that Donna can't tell Wendy that her sons deserve a dad. What is that about? Does Wendy see Donna as the one who schemed to get rid of their first dad, Dan Markell? If Donna said that to Wendy, would Wendy be like, "You're the one who got rid of their dad. They had a dad." And did you hear Charlie say, "The boys had a dad. It's a tragedy what happened." Again, what gall. These people have themselves convinced someone else caused Dan Markell's death. Maybe. Or maybe they're playing to the phone knowing that the FBI has wiretapped their phones. And Charlie kind of makes a big deal about sacrificing his one day off to drive to Miami and convince Wendy to stick it out with Dave. And Charlie and Donna are pretty much sort of bitching about what their evil plotting led to. Unbelievable. Wendy coming into the spoils left behind by her deceased husband. It's interesting how Charlie is always tooting his own horn. I'm sure he is bright to some extent. He made some stupid decisions during his trial. I'm sure he did work a lot. However, I think he's an idiot for risking his cushy existence to bring about his brother-in-law's death. And Charlie also won the lottery by being born with a decent brain into an upper echelon family that valued education. A lot of people don't necessarily have the brain power to become a periodontist. I really think this phone call perfectly illustrates the Adelson family dynamic. Donna, the master manipulator, prodding her son to help Wendy, even if it means his life suffers in the process, and Charlie, buoyed by a gigantic blind ego, likely fueled by Mama Adelson constantly blowing smoke up his big butt. And as she does this, she's convincing him to do her dirty work.
He's a smart little kid.
And yeah, Mom trusts him.
And he loves him.
Yeah, Mom.
Oh, it breaks my heart because I really see how much these kids adore him.
Yeah.
And how attentive and kind he is to the kids. But doesn't she see it? Does she realize that?
Mom, I will listen to thee. I will talk to him. Not him. I will talk to her.
Yeah.
And I will, trust me, I will go down there on Sunday on my one day off this week. I mean, you have to understand, I work so late all the time. It's really not like I don't have, like, you know, it's my one day off, and I'm going to go down there to, like, you know, let me see if I can even get time with her. If I go down there, it's going to be like,
well,
she has friends stopping over, and we can sit and
talk. When it's closer tomorrow, and just work out a, you know, just say, hey, I'll come down, and that way she doesn't know whether I'll come down and have Sunday dinner with everyone, and then you can say, would you care if Wendy and I went out and you sit with the girls?
Yeah, but let me, I know, I was planning on doing something Sunday, but don't worry, I'll cancel my plans, I'll go down there. I'm just kidding. I got to tell you something, Mom. A part of me, there's a lot I'd like to say that I can't say.
I know.
And there's a part of me that I got to worry about my own life and myself instead of spending my time worrying about somebody who's talking to a door who doesn't get the picture because she got luckier than I've ever gotten. Yeah, and because she got luckier than I've ever gotten, she has this empowerment that it's becoming more of a trust fund baby situation.
Well, you know, it's not because I actually said to Dad the other
day, I'll tell you this,
I'm not going to make a story. We're going to start calling the babysitters. We're just spending the money.
Mom, she's Mom, she's becoming, and I'm telling you this, it's becoming a trust fund baby situation. In the sense that she's gotten a lot and she hasn't worked for it. And I'm in a situation that I have what I have because I've worked for it, I've made mistakes, I've made good choices, I've made bad choices. But at the end of the day, everything I have is because I went to school, I took out loans, you know, and
it worked.
And I worked. And I had $200,000 in loans, and I did luckily in Perio, they gave us money as a stipend, and I also worked in Dad's office on the weekends and in other offices. So I picked up cash, and I got $20,000 a year while I was at Perio from the Perio department. I mean, we lucked out. It was the only years they did that. What amounts to millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the truth is, the money that's going to the kids, a lot of it is money normal person would have to work and put up and pay for camp for kids.
Sure.
So whether it's food, whether it's camp, whether it's doctors, whether it's schooling, whether it's clothes, whether it's when the kid's 18 and he needs this or he needs that or he needs a car or he needs tuition or he needs to go here and there, this is things that she would normal people have to earn, pay taxes on, save up, and pay for. So between all that and the monthly check for $4,000 a month, and then plus the other stuff from Shelley, like, she literally came in to millions of dollars. Okay? Plus the house, she just sold the house. Like, my point is, like, she has done nothing to earn what she has. So she is in such a comfortable situation where normally, let me back up, normally, single mom with two kids who is working almost paycheck to paycheck and has $150,000 in the bank, a guy like Dave comes along, and it's like, oh, my God, like, yeah, I won the lottery. You know what the problem is? She already won the lottery.
She did, yeah.
So you're taking somebody, you know, who, and the thing is this, it's not like she worked for it. It's not like she achieved it. It was just, it was sprinkled on her.
Did you hear Charlie say, trust me, Mom, there's a lot of things I wish I could say, or there's a lot of things I could say? What do you think he meant by that? Is he holding back because he knows that the phone is tapped? Is he alluding to everything he did to get rid of Dan Markell and the problem in Tallahassee?
But friends sometimes tell, like, most friends just tell their friends what they want to hear. So you want to hear what a great cat you are, how many, like, it changes. You change, your age changes, people look at you differently. It changes. So, like it or not, change is inevitable. And unfortunately for a woman, it doesn't get easier. 0.99% sure, you will never do any better than this. So, if your friends want to tell you what you want to hear, and you are amazing, but they don't take into the account your age, the boys' ages, and the fact that talk to a guy who's going to be honest with you and say, do you, if you had your choice, would you like a 26-year-old or a 36-year-old or a 46-year-old or a 56-year-old? Think. Guys who are successful, 26, he's like 50.
Yep.
So what happens is these girls don't have real-world experiences. And I'll give you a perfect example. I know you got to probably do something, but I'll just tell you this real quickly. These younger girls generally don't have the real, every time. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy is a dermatologist with a real nice office that'll be making him the millions very soon. Mm-hmm. And when you hit 30 years old, honey, and you're trying to get Botox and facials and everything, your dream in this planet would be to marry to a dermatologist who makes $2 million. He's on the finger. And they go, ooh, wouldn't that be nice? They just went to Europe. At that young age, they usually don't look like, they don't act like that. Because they don't get the full picture.
No, I see what you're saying.
They don't get the full picture of what a rough ride it's going to be. When they turn to the
third, Wendy doesn't see this as a rough ride.
That's my point.
I know.
That his sweetheart had no child care. This is my whole point in my story. If sweetheart didn't have any child care help, if sweetheart had $60,000 in the bank and didn't have millions, she would be looking at him like he was a knight in shining armor.
That's true.
Instead, she's sitting there with millions in the bank and unlimited child care and, like, people blowing sunshine up her ass, telling her how great she is. She ain't running. It's cool. Like, whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? That was my whole point of my spiel, is that...
Well, you'll wake her up a little bit.
She's got it. Between the two of us,
she's got a little bit of that trust fund mentality.
Yeah.
Of, I'm independent, but guess what, sweetheart? You didn't do to get yourself where you are.
Yeah.
So, and I can talk like that to you. I can't obviously say anything to her, but like, she didn't do anything to get to where she is in life. Whereas, like, that's what's complicating this little situation.
Yeah.
Because she's sitting, you know, she's sitting pretty with a silver spoon and hadn't done anything to earn it. So she also doesn't need Dave to provide. That's the problem too. It's like, if there was a need, he would make it a lot more important, is what I'm saying.
Right. Okay.
So, Mom, I will talk to her, and I will promise you, I'm going to set it up so I get dinner with her, but and I'll be like, oh, let me check with Mom and Dad to watch the boys. We'll get something Sunday night. And I will not go out on the boat Sunday, and I will take her out. But I'm telling you, like, it'll be brutal. I will be like, Wendy, you f*** this up, you may not get anybody else. Like, there's a very good chance you won't see this package again. And the only reason I say it, and I'll tell her, is I've never seen the package once, other than Dave. And that's it. It's not just on one level. Like,
I'm telling you, I know what will be discussed. And if you tell her, you never
know. No, the boys.
Who cares about these boys like he does.
Yeah.
And loves you, loves the boys, plays with the boys, treats them like their
own. No.
Has what he has. They're Wendy. Just what you said.
Yeah, don't stand up for the boys, because...
That's right.
In hindsight...
Charlie goes on to say that Wendy's 36, 37, and 3 years is going to go really fast, and when she turns 40, it's going to be a whole new ball game. No one's going to want her. And did you hear them both say, don't F it up for the boys? Who F'd it up for the boys? They all did. I'm kind of laughing because now Charlie is in prison for life. Let's see how long Bree decides to keep seeing him and bringing her son over to the prison. And is Charlie going to still get the hot young girls? He's behind bars. What does he have to offer? He's not really a handsome guy like Chris Watts. Maybe some people found him handsome. For as much as he thinks he's this great sage full of wisdom, look at the choices that he made. And it wasn't even anything that he gained much from. He finds these thugs, he arranges to pay them, he makes his mama happy, they get rid of the problem in Tallahassee, and now he's in prison, Donna's in jail, and Wendy's living on Easy Street. Who's the doofus now? Until the next time on Bedcrime Stories.